Well, good morning, Genesis Church. Great to see all of you that have joined us online, all of you that are here in person. It's great to be here. I actually want to thank Scott again for that prayer. I think we probably could have just sat in quiet reflection the rest of our time here and just offered our repentance, offered our worries, offered everything to God, and just sat here quietly and reflected. So, I've got a message here today, but when you go home this week, when you go home today, don't discount those prayers that Scott shared with us, because it is important for us to lay that down at God's feet, especially with everything that we have going on. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been in a series on worry. Now, there's plenty of worry to go around. I'm sure all of us, especially in the last few weeks and few months, have experienced a significant amount of worry. And if you haven't listened to the messages from the last 2 weeks, last week Scott spoke and a couple weeks ago Johnny spoke, I encourage you to do that. But some of the things that were talked about in those times is that, one, worry is focused on the temporary. It's focused on the temporary. It's something, short-term things that we're worried about, and worry is never satisfied. It doesn't matter how much you worry. Johnny said, and as he's reading on scripture, you cannot add a single hour to your life with worry. You can't add a single arm's length to your height. Worry is never satisfied, and he also said that worry is ultimately wasted. The time, the effort, the energy we spend on worry, it is wasted. In that first week, Johnny said, though, that wisdom, when we act out of wisdom, that we act more with an eternal mindset. And when we act in wisdom, we meet the needs of others. And then last week, Scott talked to us about the fact that our worry is directly connected to our faith or lack of faith in God. And I loved how at the end he rolled through some verses reminding us of the promises of God, things that we should reflect on when we experience worry, because when we begin to worry, it's because we're forgetting who is ultimately in control. And so we're going to continue the message this week on worry, but before I jump into it, I want you all to think about some things that maybe you worry about. What are some things that you worry about? Do you worry about finances? Do you worry about your career? Do you worry about school? Do you worry about relationships? Do you worry about politics? Do you worry about your health? Your family? Your kids? If you've got a pencil and you got a pen or you got your phone, I want you to write down maybe three things that you worry about, or three things that you've worried about in the last few months, because we're going to come back to those, because I want you to identify what those things have in common. The things that we worry about, what do they have in common? Today, the passage that we're going to be covering is Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. This is right at the end of chapter 6. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Many of us are familiar with this, some great teaching. If you have a chance, we've been working through a lot of these verses. Read the Sermon on the Mount chapter, starting with chapter 5 in Matthew, but we're going to be in chapter 6. And anytime I get up here, I want to make sure, especially when I'm reading the words of Jesus, you may not want to listen to me or to Norm or to Scott or to Johnny, but these are the words of Jesus. And if you're going to listen to anyone, you should listen to Jesus, right? And so I'm going to read these verses if you want to follow along. And I'm actually going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so it may be a little bit different than the Journey Bible. It says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Jesus tells us to seek the kingdom of God above all else. and pursue His righteousness. Live righteously, and everything you need will be given to you. Let's go back to the list of all those things that we worry about. What do they have in common? They're all, I'm guessing, you know, I could be wrong, but they're all tied to our earthly life. All those things that we worry about are tied to what's happening to us here, right here, right now, in this time here on earth. And Jesus even says unbelievers worry about these things. And the reason unbelievers worry about these things is because they don't have the hope of salvation. They don't have a hope of eternity with God. And so why are our worries focused on earthly things? I think at some point, all of us, at least those of us who grew up in the U.S., kind of grew up with this dream of how life is supposed to go. We go to school. We get good grades. We get into a good school. We get good grades so we can get a job, so that we can make money, maybe get married, maybe buy a house, have a family, accumulate stuff, stay healthy, and then arrive safely at death at a ripe old age. That's kind of what we've been taught, what we've grown up with. And then we teach our kids to do the same, right? We teach our kids that all those things are important, and we worry and stress about all of those things happening in the right order and at the right time. And then, by the way, we're going to bring God along to help us with all those things, right? We're going to make sure, God, that you help me with all these things so it goes easy and smoothly. And then, God, I want you to also get me into heaven. This is what our lives have kind of been built around. And then anything that interferes with that process, anything that interferes with our goals, that track in life that we're heading down, is considered a threat. And not only are those things considered threats, but they become worthy of our worry, right? What if I don't get good grades? What if I don't get in the right school? What if he or she doesn't like me? What if I don't get the job? What if? What if? What if? Worry, worry, worry. But I want to talk today of the fact that I don't think we have a worry problem. I don't think we have a worry problem at all. We have a priority problem. Our order is causing disorder in our lives. The title of the message today, your order is causing disorder. Our order, the things that we've set up as priorities, are causing the worry in our lives. What we have prioritized as the most important things in our life is actually the problem. What we choose to chase after in this life is the problem. And the hard part of that is when we really dig deep, the root of that is idolatry. Knowing that the root of our worry is essentially idolatry is a tough pill to swallow. You know what the things on your worry list have in common other than them being earthly things? They are all related to our own kingdoms. All of those things on our list are related to our own kingdoms. And God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-seeing God, tells us that he will take care of us. He tells us not to worry. He says, seek my kingdom above all else. But instead, we seek our kingdom first. And even worse, we demand that God helps us with that. And getting this out of order, seeking our kingdom before we seek God's kingdom, that is what is creating the worry in our life. Because let's talk about your kingdom or my kingdom. Who's calling the shots in your kingdom? You are. Who is on the throne in your kingdom? You are. Who is responsible for everything working out in your kingdom, essentially? You are. And so how do you respond to people or groups or ideas that threaten your kingdom? You get defensive. You get angry. You become less generous with your time, your money, your talents. You stress. You worry. But God's kingdom, God calls the shots, right? He is on the throne. He's responsible for things working out. And might I add, I've read the end of this book. Things do work out. He's responsible for that. And he is in total control whether we acknowledge that or not. And the amazing thing, the thing that I love, is that he gives us the opportunity to participate in what he's doing. He says, come join me in my kingdom. Make my kingdom a priority. And you won't have to worry about all these other things. He gives us an invitation. He's saying, you know, take that burden off of yourself from worrying about your little small kingdom and come join my immense, everlasting, infinite kingdom. When we seek God's kingdom first and we join him in what he's doing, our problems become a lot smaller. All of a sudden, the things that bother us, the things that we used to worry about, the things that used to concern us, they all of a sudden, they don't go away. They don't go away, but all of a sudden, they become much, much smaller. I don't know, how many of you use the DVR, the record feature on your satellites or your YouTube TV, whatever you use? A lot of us, right? Because we want to skip through the commercials. Well, sometimes when, you know, it's early in the season and I still have hope that the Lions might win, I'll record the game so I can fast forward through all the commercials. And sometimes I don't get to the game until a little bit later in the day. And, you know, somehow, some way, I find out what the score of the game was. And the times that they win, you know, when I watch the game, you know, I have less worry during the game because I know they eventually win. And so as I'm scrolling through, you know, I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal that they fumbled and the other team ran it back for a touchdown because I know they're eventually going to win, so I'm not going to worry. We know the outcome of the game. There is less worry. Now, I know a lot of analogies break down, but if I had to compare it to something, it is like God is inviting you to play on his Super Bowl team that is guaranteed victory. And you get to go in the game, no matter how much you screw it up, no matter how much you get banged around and bruised, you're still going to win. And so all of a sudden, those bumps and bruises don't hurt as much anymore, do they? That when the other team seems like they're gaining ground, no big deal, because you know that eventually God wins. But that's different if it was just your backyard pickup game of football. I know for me, I'd be worried. It's like, man, if I break my leg or twist an ankle or something, that's going to set me back for a few weeks. That's going to hurt. That's going to affect my life in a way. So I worry. But, man, if I'm participating in God's game, I'm not worried about that. When we seek God's kingdom, when we participate in what he's doing, when we set our focus and our energy and our time to God's business, our problems become much smaller. The early church understood this. Our group on Sunday nights at church, we've been going through the book of Acts, and it's amazing the things that the early church dealt with, the struggles and the persecution. Peter, you know, beaten and imprisoned multiple times, and yet he continued to share the gospel and spread the gospel. In Acts 14, Paul is actually stoned, and they took them outside of the city because they thought he was dead. And then they come around him, and he eventually gets up, and they just go back into the city and continue preaching the gospel and then go on to the next town. It's like, no big deal. I got stoned. That's okay. I'm just going to keep preaching the gospel. And then Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, after they heal this woman who's possessed, they actually get beaten and thrown in jail. And instead of them saying, you know what, God, I was doing your work. Why did you let us get arrested? Why did you allow us to get beaten? Instead of that, they get into jail. They're sitting in jail. And you know what they do? They start singing hymns and praying and celebrating God's goodness. And their chains fall off. And they don't leave the prison. They don't escape. They talk to the prison guard, and the prison guard eventually takes them to their home, and they share the gospel with the prison guard and his family, and they come to faith. The early church understood that when you are focused on God's kingdom, our problems become small. They had plenty to worry about, but their mission, their call, and ultimately their reward made things potentially that they may be potentially worry about very insignificant. And I think for us, the greatest mission, the greatest call in our life is that we can join God in what he's doing. And again, verse 33, it says, to seek the kingdom of God above all else. And all these things will be added to you. So you might ask, how do I go about seeking God's kingdom first? Because we want to know this. Depending on where our lives are at right now, or what we've been doing, what we've been prioritizing, what do we need to do to seek God's kingdom first? And I'm going to tell you, it's a hard one. You're going to have to surrender your kingdom. You're going to have to step off the throne and surrender your kingdom. And it looks like it starts with repentance. It's acknowledging to God that you have been focused on your kingdom first. And you might have to grieve about that for a little bit. You know, when we're baptized, if you're a follower of Christ, when we're baptized, one of the things we say when we put you in the water, it's buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. When we choose to be a follower of Christ and accept the gift that God has given us, we die to ourselves. And we choose to reorder our lives completely around Christ. And so that first step may be tough, that step of repentance. You might have to say, you know what, I've been holding with a tight fist all of those things that are involved in the success of my kingdom. And now I have to let them go, or at least I have to open my hand and be prepared that it may go out of my hand. I may not have control of that anymore. So we repent. The second thing we do is we ask God to show us where he is at work. Say, okay, God, I'm letting go of my kingdom. Now show me where you're at work and allow me to be part of that. Use me for your kingdom. And part of that, and this is a tough one too, is instead of focusing, there's a lot going on. We've got pandemic, we've got political unrest, we've got a lot of things going on. And at some point, you have to move from thinking, how is this affecting me, to this is affecting a lot of people, how can I help someone, or how can I help them? You might not be able to change your situation directly right now. You might not be able to change someone's situation directly right now, but you can give people glimpses of God's kingdom by taking the focus off yourself and figuring out, how can I invest in the life of someone else who is hurting? And that's a big step, because our natural reaction, anytime we encounter struggle, anytime we encounter difficulty, it's always self-focused. Like, how is this affecting me? Or you might say, how is this affecting me and my family? But you may have to ask God, how can you use me out there? How can you use me where people are hurting and where people are suffering? So we repent. We ask God, and then we ask God where he's at work. And the third thing is we begin to order our lives appropriately. We order our life in such a way that it gives us the best opportunity to join God in what he's doing. And that's going to look differently for a lot of us. You might have to change some of your routines. You might have to reconsider where you live. You might have to reconsider how you spend your time and your money. But how do you reorder your life so you have the best opportunity to join God? And I know this is tough, because you may object and you might say, well, aren't some of those things on my list important? Yes, those things on our list are important. But I would argue, if we're putting God first, those things on that list will probably get better. If we're handling our finances the way God has instructed us to handle our finances, putting His kingdom first, we will have less worry in our finances. If we handle our marriages and put Christ at the center, we'll be better husbands and wives. I know when Holly and I do premarital counseling with couples, we always say the best gift that you can give your children is to love each other well. And putting God's kingdom first, another gift that you can give your kids, maybe the best gift you can give to your kids, is demonstrating to them what it looks like to live a life fully devoted to Christ. That is the absolute best gift you can give to your children. And if you do that, if you set that example and set them on the right path, then maybe yes, you might still worry a little bit, but you'll worry less about the path that they've been set on because you know you've given them an example of what it looks like to live fully devoted to Christ. And the same is true for school. What does it look like for you in school to live and operate in school, showing others that God is the most important thing in your life? What does it look like to serve others and live generously? All of those things on your list are, yes, absolutely, they are priorities. They're just not the top priority. But I guarantee if you put God in the primary spot, you will have less worry in each and every one of those categories. The same is true for politics. If we live our life as though the only thing that can save us is whoever's elected next as president, then we will live a life of worry and a life of fear. But we know who is on the throne and whose kingdom we serve. And so, just like Johnny said, that you know, in 10 years there's going to be, you know, that this may pass away, our country may pass away, the president who is president now is not going to be president then. We don't have to worry because our God is still on the throne. So how can you reorder your life to give yourself the best opportunity to serve Christ? Because in a way, when you do that, you have the opportunity to bring God's kingdom to earth. You get to bring glimpses to others of what God's kingdom looks like. This is extremely important because I don't think there's any greater reward than chasing after God's kingdom while you're here on earth. The reward in heaven is so great. As I was working on the message, I was going to read a few verses in Corinthians chapter 4, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. It'll only take me a couple minutes, but if you think about this, Paul that I was just talking about that was stoned and continued on. So Paul, who probably had plenty to worry about, Paul, who had plenty of struggles, this is what he has to say to the church. If you've got a Bible nearby or you just want to listen, it's just 18 verses here. I want to read this because it is so rich. It says, "With your joy, because it is by faith, you stand firm. So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit." Oh, excuse me, wrong one. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life might also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul understands that our greatest pursuit is God's kingdom. And again, it's not going to be easy. There's some selfish tendencies. There's things that we may have to let go. But you have to know that your kingdom will eventually pass away. The kingdoms of this earth will eventually pass away. But God's kingdom will last for eternity. And so I want you to ask yourself, are the efforts and investments that you're making today going to have an eternal impact? Are the things that you're focused on, the ways that you've ordered your life, are those things going to impact God's kingdom? Or are you investing in something that's just going to pass away eventually? Make no mistake, we are all going to experience trouble in this life. Whether we're pursuing our own kingdom, someone else's kingdom, or whether pursuing God's kingdom, we are going to experience trouble. The question is, when we are putting that effort forth for that kingdom, are we going to have that hope that it's going to last forever? Before I pray, I just want to share one verse with you from Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let us pray. God, we come to you this morning knowing that it is so difficult to not focus on our own kingdoms. It's so challenging to prioritize all of those things on our list above your kingdom. But God, I pray that you work on our hearts today. Help us to see where we have put you in the backseat, where we have put you in second place, where we have put you in a low priority, God, and help us to acknowledge that and repent. Help us to spend time wrestling with how we can reorder our life so that we can give you the glory. Help us to know where you want us to invest our time. Help us to know where you want us to help others, where you want us to bring your kingdom. And I pray, God, that as we do that, you renew us day by day, knowing that these troubles are light and momentary. We lift this up in your name. Amen.
You will. I like that message because I think it has potential to unite us. You know, I think there's so many disordered orders in our world today, and there's disagreements about the order that we should put them in. So if we put Jesus in the highest place, we'll come around that. Maybe we'll all realize what our priorities should be together. And, you know, I think there's just so much division in the world. And when we focus on Jesus, those things that are divisive, they become secondary. And it's, oh, let's chase after Jesus first, see what he has for us. And when we're chasing after his heart, maybe we can come together around that. It's powerful. Genesis Church, it is now time for next steps. Will gave us some great thoughts. Now we want to give you some great actions to partake in, to chase after his stuff for the week to come. The first thing we've got, Will, is five priorities. Is that right?
That is correct. So write a list of your priorities and goals for 2021. Obviously, making sure that you're figuring out how to make God's kingdom your top priority, or at least the primary priority of each of those five.
I was inspired by what you were saying, going through the book of Acts. Let's look at the early apostles. What were their priorities in life? What were they consumed by? What did they chase after? One thing we can't do in heaven is share the love of Jesus Christ with people who don't know him yet. So that's going to be on my list of priorities, is sharing the gospel with those around me. Loving my family while pointing them to Jesus Christ. You know, I'm gonna write it down on a little card like this. I'm going to stick it to my mirror. Five priorities. I love it. The second one is a way to start every day. What is the way that we want to start every day?
So we're forgetful people, right? So we want to start every day by asking God, how can we participate in what he's doing? Set our minds on that to start the day and have that be our priority through each day.
Yeah. Cue card. I'm going to put it right on my mirror. I'm going to say, God, may I enter into the lives of other people around me with faith, with passion, with love, with understanding, with patience, you know, in our day-to-day. So those are your next steps. Write down your priorities. And number two, pray to enter into the lives of those around you as you go out into this week. Can we agree to do that? Raise your hand if you think you're on board for that. Let's prioritize ourselves around Jesus Christ. Genesis Church, I'm going to pray really quick, and then you guys can go in the peace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sound good? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for what Will shared. Thank you for the fact that you've given us a priority, something to chase after with our whole lives. And it's something that's eternal. It's something that is totally worth our attention, totally worth our devotion. It's your kingdom. God, I just pray that in this week to come, in our workplaces, in our homes, on the internet, in the streets as we're driving to the grocery store, that we seek to bring your kingdom to Petoskey, that our prayer in our heart would be that as it is in heaven, so shall it be in Petoskey, Michigan. So shall it be in Boyne City, Michigan. So shall it be in Harbor Springs, Michigan. That's what we want, Jesus. We want to bring heaven to earth. We pray all these things in your name, knowing that you will give us the strength, the power to make this possible. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Go in peace and love, Genesis Church. Thank you so much for coming today.